Seeing none, those stand approved. Just a couple housekeeping items. We are planning to adjourn today at 4:30, and we are planning to take a lunch break after a report from DAS. With that, we'll get started.
Senator? I have a request. Looking at some of the material you've provided, this is fairly detailed, complicated financial charts and things here, and I'd like to request that after Director Lyon's testimony, that DAS be given just a few minutes to respond. I think it'd only be fair, and some of that is detailed and complicated enough that I think they'd be the proper ones to comment on. I just would like to ask that the committee give them just a few minutes to respond.
Thanks for your request, and I believe that we will have unanimous consent for DAS to respond.
Thank you.
The Des Moines Register editorial board recently wrote, many years ago, Iowa erected a firewall to protect state employees from the shifting whims of bosses elected through the political process. Today, that firewall is under attack. That should concern all Iowans. Governor Branstad's attack on that firewall began almost as soon as he returned to office with the start of his multi-year effort to force Chris Godfrey to resign. Godfrey was not a member of the governor's staff. Chris Godfrey was appointed to a partial term by Governor Vilsack in 2006 and was confirmed by a majority in the Iowa Senate. He was reappointed by Governor Culver in 2009 and again confirmed by the Senate to a six-year term that was supposed to insulate the position from partisan politics. When Governor Branstad took office, he demanded Godfrey's resignation as part of a wholesale partisan house cleaning, something that did not happen under Governors Vilsack and Culver. When Godfrey refused, Governor Branstad retaliated against him, cutting his pay from $112,000 to $73,250 a year, the lowest allowable amount under state law. The governor also vetoed the deputy commissioner position and cut Godfrey's salary. Despite Governor Branstad's unrelenting hostility and harassment, Godfrey's excellent work for the state of Iowa resulted in his appointment to a similar position on the national level. Godfrey moved up while Governor Branstad continues to charge Iowa taxpayers for the legal defense of his actions. Not only did Iowans lose the services of an excellent public servant, but Iowa taxpayers have also had to foot the legal bills of more than $500,000 so far. This week, we will consider evidence and hear sworn testimony about the operation of Iowa workforce development under Governor Branstad's political appointee, Teresa Wehler. We will consider evidence and hear sworn testimony from administrative law judges indicating that Director Teresa Wehler interfered in legal hearings on unemployment benefits, hearings that must be impartial according to federal and state law. We will consider evidence and hear sworn testimony that Director Wehler sought to reclassify the Chief Administrative Law Judge's position from a merit-based position to a political position, once again eliminating an essential political buffer. Imagine pleading your case before a judge whose continued employment depends on pleasing partisan politics. When the U.S. Department of Labor objected, the Branstad administration, for budgetary reasons, eliminated the position of chief judge, although the Bureau was operating within its budget. When Director Wehler assumed direct supervision of the administrative law judges, one of her first requests was to ask these judges to take steps to help employers win more often. The Branstad administration's campaign against unemployed Iowans has been hard to understand. First, local workforce offices across the state were closed. Then came the effort to attack the legal deck against those seeking unemployment benefits. And now we've learned gag orders were issued to Iowa workforce development staff to cover up a system malfunction that jeopardizes the integrity of the entire department. These issues should be sounding an alarm for Iowans to see what we can expect from Governor Branstad's concerted effort to politicize Iowa government. In his unprecedented effort to turn state workers from public employees into partisan political hacks, Governor Branstad has transformed more than 300 merit system positions to at-will employees. Iowans deserve a government that works for all of us. Iowa's public servants are the people who monitor our water quality, oversee the spending of our precious tax dollars, and inspect facilities where vulnerable elderly Iowans live. Our public servants should never be afraid to do their jobs and tell the truth out of fear that they will upset the governor and his political cronies. We are seeing damaging effects across state agencies and departments from the governor's campaign to rid our state of hundreds of merit employees. In summary, today we will hear and examine how Branstad's administration's campaign to reintroduce the discredited oil system to Iowa state government affected one department. I believe this evidence and sworn testimony is a warning of the problems we can expect of all state government unless significant nonpartisan reforms are enacted. First, however, we have a bit of cleanup to do from our previous meetings regarding DAS cost-saving measures. We have previously questioned the leadership of Governor Branstad's Department of Administrative Services about their cost savings as it relates to outsourcing certain functions from architectural and engineer service to purchasing agreements for specific construction contracts. DAS has provided this committee with testimony on multiple occasions asserting that its reduction in force of state employees has saved the state and its agencies significant money. The nonpartisan Legislative Services Agency conducted its own review, and we will hear the results now. I'd like to ask Director Holly Lyons to provide the committee with a briefing and review of the expenditures by the Department of Administrative Services 2009 to 2013 issue review, which committee members you should have in front of you. Thank you, Holly.
Thank you for having me here this morning. I believe all of you have copies of the issue review. It was published several weeks ago, so I'll assume that you and or your staff have had a chance to read it. It was written by Dwayne Ferguson of our staff. He has recently retired after 34 years of state service, 30 years of those with the LSA. He did staff the administration and regulation budget subcommittee. I'll give you a quick overview of the issue review and then open it up to questions. If I can't answer your questions, I have several staff members here today that can. They are specialized in like FTEs, and I've got the current staff member of DAS, current staff member of admin and reg sub here, although I'm not sure, he doesn't know all of Dwayne's area, but he might be able to help out. Those are Dave Reynolds of our staff, Ron Robinson, and Dave Hewton, so they may need to jump in and help me with questions. So first, why did Dwayne write the issue review? In all honesty, it started out as just a fiscal update blurb as part of our oversight responsibilities. If we see something that we're not quite sure of, we might blurb it. We might put something out there and it's just generally just the facts. He was also getting numerous questions from legislators and staff about cost-saving actions at the Department of Administrative Services. It's not a new issue. Dwayne had written two previous issue reviews, one in January 2013 on cost savings in the Department of Administrative Services, and one in December of 2013 on contracting for services. The topic of cost savings at DAS came before the Oversight Committee last session, and Dwayne noted that some of the numbers presented to the committee and to Dwayne in response to questions were not consistent with the numbers in the I-3 budget system. So as part of LSA's budget oversight responsibilities, Dwayne decided to write a memo to the Administrative and Regulation Budget Subcommittee, examining the expenditure information in a straightforward, concise manner. It was decided to issue the draft memo as an issue review to reach a larger audience and answer more of the questions that we were receiving. It's a very broad look or examination. It looks at total expenditures and trends for the department and for state government, and focuses on operating expenses only. As you know, DAS has a number of clearing accounts, revenue accounts, et cetera, that were not included in this overview. The info in the issue review is from the I-3 budget system. Several things, observations were made, and I hesitate to call them conclusions, but these are probably five or six things that can be deduced from this issue review. It concludes that a more detailed examination would be needed to determine the efficiency of the outsourcing. And these are in no particular order. Statewide expenditures and DAS expenditures are growing for the period fiscal year 2009 to 2013. The DAS workforce is shrinking, down 17%. The overall state workforce is growing up 2.1%. Data suggests that the DAS is keeping or hiring higher paid employees and reducing the number of lower paid employees. And finally, we looked for a pattern. An increase in outside sources would suggest that personnel costs would decrease, i.e. if you're outsourcing your employee, your contracts, if that number is increasing, you would assume that your personnel costs would decrease. And in this case, they did not. But it doesn't go into detail, and that wasn't the intent of this review. It did not look at contracts alone. There could be reasons why costs are increasing, such as pay raises, cost of benefits are increasing. So we would really need to drill down to try to find the reasons why these costs were increasing. We're currently looking at an architectural outsourcing review. Ron's working on that. Specifically, the percentage of administrative costs paid on current contracts. So let me start over. Okay, we're currently looking at architectural outsourcing. Specifically, the percentage of administrative costs prior to the current contracts compared to the administrative costs on the current contracts. As you can imagine, it's extremely difficult to that because when you have change orders, just comparing those costs is a challenge, but Ron is working on it. We hope to have that done in a month or so. So now what I'd like to do is just briefly walk through the tables in the issue review and tell you basically what they say. Table one on page two looks at DAS operating funds for the period fiscal year 2009 and 2013, the expenditures by fund. They are up $5.9 million or 5.5%. The largest categories are in IT and other funds. Table two just slices that information a different way. The grand totals are the same as you can see, but this looks at it by expenditure. Outside sources increased beginning in 2011. They're up 79% in 4 years. But the personnel costs did not decrease in a corresponding fashion as you might expect. They went down for 2 years and then up for 2 years. And with the net result is that they're down about 1%. Table three shows expenditures for all of state government. It shows that expenditures are up 7.2% over the 4 years. This pattern is different than the DAS pattern, which was up for 2 years, a very slight increase in the third year, and then down in the fourth year. Table four shows the number of employees, Department of Administrative Services, and statewide. It also shows cost per employee. DAS, number of employees have decreased all 4 years. In the state, the number of employees decreased for 2 years and then increased for 2 years. DAS cost per employee dropped for the first year and then has increased the last 3 years. The state, the cost per employee has increased all 4 years, but at a significantly lower percentage than Department of Administrative Services. Table five looks at higher paid positions versus lower paid positions. And we specifically looked at grade 13 because that's sort of the definitive line between management, professional, and highly technical positions. This table shows that more lower paid positions were eliminated over the last 4 years. And again, I need to stress this is just, it's a very broad conclusion, very broad examination, and it actually probably raises more questions than it has answers. And hindsight's 20/20, and my vision looking back is if we were to issue this again, we would make a much more detailed report given the time. So again, this is just a very broad view. And I'd just like to open it up to questions.
Thank you. Senator McCoy.
Yes. Holly, if we could go to the conclusions on page five.
Sure.
And I, again, recognizing these are broad conclusions, it appears that DAS expenditures are growing by 17.6% in the last 2 years. And when we look at the expenditures, that's everything all in, right?
Yes.
So across...
Excuse me, Senator, it's all operating expenditures?
Yeah, that's all operating expenditures.
Right.
And if we look at other departments and state government, what kind of growth rate are we seeing?
I don't have a specific answer to that question. I just have the overall growth rate for all of state government.
7.2% over the last 4 years.
Right.
Okay. So just using that analogy, I guess that's my cause for alarm, is if in fact DAS has been in on several occasions and told this committee that they've saved 15% over the past 2 years by implementing their new strategies, and in fact the numbers don't prove that up. I mean, that's very clear to me. It's a 17.6% increase. Without drilling down into the specifics of just apples to apples, when we look at other growth rates in other departments in state government, I think it is a fair comparison. If state government's grown at 7.2% and DAS has grown at 17.6%, and we're using the same measure for growth, I think it's a pretty clear conclusion that DAS has not saved money, that DAS has spent more money than they've saved, and that DAS has in fact mischaracterized to this committee their savings. And I think that that ought to be a wake-up call for all the members of this committee. And I hope that when DAS, through unanimous consent, answers questions from this committee, that Ms. Lyons will remain at the table. Thank you.
Senator Theoretz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Director Lyons, for your information. First of all, we have had some correspondence back and forth over this issue, is that correct? And one of the questions I raised that goes to Senator McCoy's point was that your analysis does not take into account any savings that might have been realized through the changing the process that DAS uses for state construction projects, and doing away with the general contractors and replacing them with, I forget the term, project managers or whatever. And isn't it correct that you said that your analysis didn't address that issue, and you couldn't say whether there or not there were savings in that area?
That is correct. It's a very broad overview. We're not attempting to say whether certain processes save money.
Well, and in fact, your analysis doesn't even take that into account at all.
No.
So, Senator McCoy's broad sweeping conclusion that this proves that DAS didn't save any money, that's not correct, is it? This analysis does not show that at all, does it?
Senator, I think it does raise questions. When you look at overall tables like this, as we said in emails back and forth, that you can make very broad conclusions. I don't necessarily want to speak to Senator McCoy's assertion. I think we tried to just lay out the facts looking at overall expenditures. We did not look at, you're correct, we did not look at the processes. We also didn't, I mean, some of these processes are new, so I think it needs some time to review them to see the cost effectiveness.
Well, let me ask the question a little differently then. Let's just hypothetically say that through the elimination, and your figures here don't show and don't even address the question of saving fees to general contractors in construction projects. That isn't even part of your analysis, is it?
No, it's not.
Okay. Now, let's hypothetically say that by changing the way DAS did business, that they had savings, substantial savings, because they don't pay the general contractor's fees. Your analysis wouldn't show that at all, would it?
I don't believe so. I might want to call on Ron. I don't know that that would necessarily be reflected in these numbers.
The overall...
Duane's issue the review addresses the overall expenditures by the agency. When you say that it doesn't include any outsourcing, any other type of savings, those savings are reflected in the overall data. It doesn't specifically address what items are in, what items were less efficient, which items are more efficient, but it does include any savings resulting from the outsourcing. So this particular paper does not address construction management agents. It addresses the overall issue, and any savings is reflected in the overall bottom line dollar. And I'm working on the issue review, as was stated, to address specifically construction, the CMAs.
Your answer to me kind of confuses the issue rather than throwing more light on it. This study does not even purport to address the question of whether there were savings on construction projects because of the elimination of general contractors. Isn't that correct?
No.
No?
What, no,
where in this study, in these figures, do you reflect the cost of construction projects that the state has engaged in during this time, not using general contractors? Where do you show those figures?
The overall, you'll see in the issue review that it addresses specific light items. It addresses personal services, it addresses outsourcing, and to the extent that those are where those expenses are, where those savings would be, it is addressed in the overall number. So if you save money doing outsourcing of something, that would reduce the bottom line expenditures. However, in this case, the overall thing for the agency has been an increase in expenditures. It doesn't indicate whether they are doing more work, whether they're being more efficient. They're just spending more money. So the overall, to answer your question again, is the savings or not savings from outsourcing is addressed in the overall cost, because those expenditures are listed in the overall table. So it doesn't get to the question. I mean, talking about this paper specifically addressing the CMAs, it doesn't do that.
And if there were savings in building construction projects, this paper wouldn't reflect that, would it?
It does.
Where?
In the bottom.
Show me where.
In the bottom.
Line.
In the bottom line. You'll see the specific line items are listed out: personal services, outside services. And those are all administrative expenses relating to everything, not just CMAs, but every type of outsourcing, every type of personal services. It's all rolled together. It is a small, small part of the overall operation of the agency.
Are you talking about table one? Which table are you talking about?
Table two specifically addresses personal services, salaries, addresses outside services.
All right.
And so there are more, the CMAs actually, they fall within different categories. Other than that, they do other things. But overall, those total expenditures prior to the CMAs being created, and after the CMA created, every single expenditure for operations is listed in this table. So those CMAs is a small portion, and this table, this document really cannot be used to determine, or does not state anywhere any conclusion about CMAs.
Do you have an idea of what the cost of state construction projects was during these years?
Yes. And that's a paper will be coming out.
All right. And roughly what would that have been? Just rough figures.
$100 million. It depends. It fluctuates substantially from year to year.
All right. Let's just say it's $100 million. Now, you did not have the cost of general contractors for that $100 million in construction projects. Would that be correct?
No.
No, it is not correct, or no, you don't have the cost?
The general contractor is, under the prior establishment, was not a part of operations. It was a part of the building project.
Right. So that wouldn't show up anywhere in your chart here at all, would it?
You're right. This does not address anything other than the overall operation of the agency.
So back to my hypothetical. If there had been savings in construction projects, which would affect the cost of the construction projects, by not using general contractors, your chart wouldn't show that, would it?
Correct.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to get at. So, to draw a conclusion that DAS is spending more under their revised way of doing business than they did before, you don't know that because we don't know what, from your chart here, we don't know what savings there might have been in those building projects by doing away with the general contractors. Isn't that correct?
So, Senator, the paper addresses the overall expenditures for the agency. And so, yes, the total operating expenses, whether it's going to CMAs, going to fleet management, going to every single thing that the department does for their operations, is reflected in this document. And the savings you are talking about will be reflected in the next document that I am producing.
All right. So, what you have done here, you are showing the costs of the project managers in your figures here, correct?
Correct. So under this scenario then, since the CMAs, the work that was done by DAS employees in the past is now being outsourced, so all those costs though are still then reflected in this document.
Well, not all of them. The cost of the CMAs is reflected here. Now, here's the problem, my problem. The CMAs took the place of the general contractors.
Correct.
Okay, so now, in the current years, the recent years, you have added the cost of the CMAs to the operating expenses of DAS. What you have not done, and therefore, this is why I'm saying it's not a fair comparison, you have not shown the savings from doing away with the general contractors. And that doesn't show up anywhere here because that's part of the cost of the building project. So what you have done, you have added a category of expenses to the operating expenses for the CMAs and ignored the fact that that expense may be substantially less than the expense of the use of general contractors, because the general contractor don't show up anywhere here. Isn't that correct?
I think what we need to do is go back to the purpose of the paper. And the purpose of the paper.
Would you please answer my question rather than...
Point of order. You know, I think that what's happening here is a good exchange. I think that the badgering needs to stop, and I think that it would be good if our nonpartisan legislative fiscal bureau has an opportunity to answer the questions in complete detail before another question is asked. So,
point well taken.
And I appreciate your question. I understand where you're trying to get to, and my answer was being responsive to your question. If I could continue.
Well, I'm sorry. Please.
And that what I feel is that you're trying to analyze something that is not addressed in this paper. The paper's overall statement was to look at a goal that was stated by DAS, which was to reduce expenditures by 15%. There's that goal could be interpreted by people in different ways, and it may have been interpreted differently for this paper than DAS would now say, or the governor would say that it was meant to do. But overall, so it was looked at as though they were saying they wanted to cut expenditures by 15%. So the paper looks at overall expenditures. It doesn't look at specific projects, initiatives, activities, products. It doesn't look at any of those. It looks at, are they spending more now than they did at the start? And that's all it does. This paper is not intended to address specifically the construction management. I will be doing that in another paper, and I think you'll appreciate it. I believe it will address everything that you're talking about. It's not going to be as straightforward as I was hoping. I was hoping for a one-pager to just set it out and say, here it is. It's not going to be that way. There are several things, and I want to compliment DAS for being cooperative in that work, and so hopefully we will have a paper that we will be able to agree with DAS as to what the impact is of the construction management. But this document itself was to address the overall expenditures by DAS, and so that's what it does. And so the conversation on construction managers would be better served with the issue review that I am working on.
So would you at least concede that it's possible, let me say it this way, from the taxpayer's point of view, the taxpayer pays expenses of DAS, they pay for the building projects, they pay for all this stuff.
Yes.
From the taxpayer's point of view, is it fair to say that this analysis does not show that the taxpayers are paying more now overall, including paying for building projects, than they did under the old system? Is that a fair statement?
I would say it does not address anything other than operations. So
it is a fair statement then.
What was that?
It is a fair statement then.
Senator.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
That's all I'm trying to.
I think we should wait for the full report on the subject area instead of asking our nonpartisan to answer hypothetical questions.
He answered the question.
Are there additional questions from committee members?
Well,
do you have more?
Yes, I do. Director Lyons, another issue I wanted to address is the increase in state employees from 2009 to 2013.
Yes.
And could you elaborate on that a little bit and tell us what the figures show in terms of the executive branch versus legislative, judicial, and then within the executive branch, the Board of Regents, and as a prelude to this, is it fair to, let me ask it this way, does DAS have control over the employees hired by the Board of Regents, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch?
No, they do not.
Okay. So could you tell us about the numbers of employees from year to year, 2009 to 2013? Looking at the employees, the DAS actually has control over what's happened there.
Okay. I prepared a chart, and I have copies here. Give me a moment to find them. Thank you. I prepared this in response to a question earlier from Senator Garrett. And I'll give you just a moment to get the chart so that everybody's got it. Okay, what this table shows is the number of state employees, the grand total statewide, this is all employees, judicial, legislative, regents, has increased since fiscal year 2009 by 2.14% or 1,119 employees. For the judicial branch alone, it has decreased by 7.77% or 149 employees. The legislative branch over the same time period has reduced 24.43 employees, 5.73%. The executive branch, without the judicial and the legislative branches, has increased 2.59% or 1,293 employees. The regents alone have increased 3,838 employees or 13.87%. So the total executive branch net of regents, and I believe the other two, I'll have to clarify that with Dave, but I believe that's executive branch net of regents and the judicial and legislative, has decreased 2,545 employees or 11.43%.
Okay, so of the employees that DAS actually has control over, the number is actually down by over 2,500 employees.
Correct.
So it's gone down rather than up.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
And when I clarify that, though, the number of employees have gone down system-wide, but the study that we're looking at deals with the cost of employees within the Department of DAS, correct? So you'll see
correct.
That the cost of employees has gone down by 1%
correct.
In that department, just to clarify.
Well, one is numbers, and the other, you're talking about costs. I was asking about numbers. The numbers are down 2,500.
But that's not just for that department, right?
It's all the executive department
yes.
except the Board of Regents.
Correct. I
yes.
just want to make sure we're talking
yes.
apples to apples.
We are. Thank you.
Do you have any further questions?
No. Thank you.
Senator McCoy.
Holly, I have a question. Getting back to the point about when you look at processes inside of any agency in state government, and I my experience with this relates to how other departments have gained efficiencies, and those efficiencies are in effect savings. But when you did this analysis, what I heard Ron saying was the analysis was operating expenses. It wasn't, I mean, because DAS is such a sweeping, large, mammoth department, to take out just one area in the department and say, well, these processes were efficient and so there were savings recognized and realize, and those savings should be reflected in an operating deal. I guess to Senator Garrett's point, if that's the measure of growth in state government, then I want to examine the efficiencies of every department and every program and every system improvement across the state, because what we're really trying to do here is give a broad overview of a measurement, and if you could just speak to that, I would appreciate it.
Yes, Senator, it's very difficult to analyze processes and where savings occur, because especially in something when you're trying to make something more efficient, you try to reduce the expense here, but like in outsourcing, you're going to have contracting costs will increase, but your personnel costs should decrease correspondingly. But there's also, especially in DIS, there's so many other things going on. You've got, you know, printing and postage, and there's to isolate, especially with contracts and construction contracts, and I use the example of change orders and things change in the whole contract process, it's very difficult. We just wanted to look, and the question that we kept getting from legislators and staff is, are DAS's expenses going down? Are the expenditures going down? Are the expenditures for state government going down? Are they going up? And that is solely what we tried to show here, is total operating expenses. I understand Senator Garrett's point of view. We're trying to get down to that to actually show whether there were savings or not. But it is extremely difficult. And honestly, a program evaluation would probably be needed, and those sometimes take years to actually get down to find. This was meant to be a broad sweeping look. I admit, it raises more questions than it answers.
Thank you, Holly. I think that the point here is, as legislators, we use barometers to measure how things are going, and one of the barometers we measure is what is the rate of or growth of government and expenses, and that barometer has always been to measure the operating expenses of each department, and that's how we determine where growth will occur and at what rate growth will occur in government, and we do that through the budgeting process. And so when the Department of Ag invents a new program that streamlines applications for manure management and saves taxpayers or saves users millions of dollars, we don't say to the Department of Ag, well, you've reduced costs by this much, so we're going to allow your operating expenses to grow at 17% when state government's growing at about 2%. So I just think that we need to be honest from a fiscal standpoint. We need to be intellectually honest about how we evaluate programs and processes. And certainly, I think that any program is worthy of highlighting and showing actual savings when it occurs. But I think that is separate than what happened in this fiscal issue update. And I think what happened in this issue update is we got a firsthand, honest conclusion that DAS has grown at 17.6%, while the rest of state government has grown over the last 4 years at 7.2%. And I think if you can draw any other conclusion than that, good luck. Take your hypotheticals and your analysis and prove it up. But this paper is sound, and the work that went into this paper is sound, and DAS has grown at a 17.6% clip. And that ought to be cause for alarm when they come before the committee and tell the committee that they saved the committee, they saved the state 15%. That isn't reflected in their operating expenses. And that's really how we measure departments in state government. So thank you, Holly and Fiscal Bureau, for your work. And I'll look forward to more analysis in the future.
Senator Garrett.
Thank you. In doing an analysis of this kind, is it normal procedure, is it or isn't it normal procedure for legislative services to contact the agency involved to get their input?
In a broad analysis like this, we can pull all of this information from the budget system, and that's what we do. I don't believe we ran this one by the department because we had all the information from the budget system, which is actually controlled by DAS, so.
So you didn't contact them at all to get their input?
I can't speak for Dwayne, Senator, I'm sorry. I can find out for you.
Okay, but as far as you know, they weren't contacted?
It was a combination of databases, our appropriations tracking, and our I-3 system. We made sure that the numbers tied out, and they did. But I can certainly find out for you.
Yeah, okay. All right, Madam Chair, this is, to me, is disturbing because what has happened, and we know this from prior testimony, under the old system, the expenses of building projects were all outside of DAS's operating budget, completely. You'd have a general contractor, they would make a bid, different contractors would make a bid on a project, and somebody would be hired. The general contractor's fee was paid as part of the building project. Didn't show up in operating expenses of DAS. That's the way it's been over the years. Now we have a new system. We have project managers hired to overlook construction projects in lieu of the general contractor. The project manager's fees, as I understand it, and DAS can fill me in if I'm wrong, is included in the operating expenses. The savings by eliminating the general contractors would show up in the cost of the construction projects. They would be less. So what we've done, we have added a whole new category of employees in the operating system here, in the operating figures, not taking into account that they were a substitute for general contractors, that the fees to the general contractors are not paid, but that shows up in the cost of the building project. It does not show up as part of the operating budget. And that's why we're misleading by ignoring that fact and just focusing on the operating budget of DAS. Thank you.
Senator McClay.
Senator Garrett, the statement that you made is just not accurate. In the previous DAS expenditure line, there was an entire professional service division in state government which were reflected in the expenditures under the operation side of the budget. That has been eliminated, and the project management that you're seeing in the expenditure line was added to the overall budget to replace the professional services division, which was eliminated. So it is an apples to apples comparison, Senator, with all due respect. What you stated is just not accurate because you eliminated an entire professional service division of state government. You saw all those layoffs of those people, and we saw the chicken scratches that they brought in here that said they'd save $700,000 in salaries, and you've touted that over and over and over again. Well, that's all reflected in the budget of expenditures, and the expenditures here of project managers that were paid from those expenditures under the operating expense form are still the same expenses, but just using another source of professional management. So those savings are already reflected. So to state that they're playing games with the numbers isn't accurate. You're playing games with the numbers, in my opinion, by not reflecting the layoffs and the elimination of those positions and salaries. And that's the point I think that needs to be made here, because I think you need to compare apples to apples, and that's what occurred.
One more comment. I'm sorry, but I need to respond. You are correct. There were some employees that were laid off. So under the old system, that's true. You paid those people, plus you paid the general contractors.
Plus we paid them hush money and settlements on top of that. So I mean there was no end to the
Senator,
flow of money.
There was one instance that you came up with that you might call hush money, where specific money was paid for confidentiality. One instance of that.
Oh no, there were many.
No, there were not.
Yes, there were.
There were confidentiality agreements,
well,
as part of the settlement agreements.
I'm calling it all hush money. Right,
well,
now.
All right, that's a different definition.
Because we were sloshing around with so much money. I mean, we dropped $500,000 in a matter of months, paying out employees and found unlimited sources of funds to pay these folks. So, Senator, with all due respect, I know you don't like the news that you got today. I know that learning that 17.6% increase in state spending isn't what you want to use to defend this government and this administration's lack of management and oversight and fiscal responsibility, but the facts are the facts. And, you know, I say sometimes you got to swallow hard and move on.
Facts are the facts.
There's stubborn things.
And the point is, we are only looking at part of the picture, and I think that's been brought out by the testimony here, that this doesn't take into account the savings on the building project, which was millions of dollars, which completely dwarfs the figures that we're dealing with here.
We'll see.
Thank you.
Are there any further questions? Do you still wish to ask unanimous consent for the department to respond?
Yes.
Lon, you're in order. Seeing no...
Thank you, Senator. As you, many of you know, prior to going to DAS, I spent about 20 years in the legislature, and I have the utmost respect for the work that Holly and her team does. I worked closely with them for a lot of years. To answer Senator Garrett's question, no, we were not contacted about this. And it's unfortunate because Senator McCoy talked about comparing apples to apples, and unfortunately this memo does not do that.
I'm sorry, Ms. Grant. Do you have a specific question that you wanted to ask the department to?
Well, I would like to have Lon respond to the points that we've been talking about here. He's in a unique position. He understands a lot better than I do the finances involved and these figures involved, and that's why I asked that he be allowed to talk about them, because he's intimately involved and was not contacted when these figures were prepared, and I think it's only fair that he be allowed to respond.
Point of where, you know, the assertion that we're going to go tit for tat, here's my problem with it. The department has been in twice, and numerous top heads of the department have testified, including an enormous amount of analysis that went into where the cost savings were calculated, and their assertion that they had saved the state government 15%. I think that if there's a specific question, we should ask a specific question, but to have the department testify again today after hours and hours of testimony, to me, given the nature of the other issues before us today, is duplicative and unnecessary.
Well,
Senator, do you have a specific question for the department related to
the
issue?
We'll do it that way. Thank you. Lon, I would like you to respond to the financial, the charts showing the different expenditures by DAS, and I want to ask you, are these ongoing expenses? Are there any one-time expenses in there? Are there any special circumstances? I'd like to know the detail of that is behind these numbers.
Yeah, the memo that I passed out addresses three of the assertions that were made in the memo, and then our response to those assertions. The first one being the Senator McCoy's mention of the 17% increase. $9 million of that was for other agencies paying in for vehicle purchases. That's not DAS's money. Yes, we collect it and we spend it on cars, but it's for DPS, so the troopers can have new cars, DOC, DHS. That's $9 million of increase right there. Now, yeah, granted, DAS did buy a few cars, but of the $9 million, it's a very small amount. And the reason for that was, after the across-the-board cut, agencies stopped paying in because they said, don't buy vehicles. Use your vehicles longer because we're in a budget crunch. After we came out of the budget crunch, they started paying in and buying vehicles again. That's $9 million of the increase. Another $8 million of the increase is for the legislatively mandated consolidation of IT that's being headed up by Bob von Wooferette. And a lot of that is one-time infrastructure purchases related to IT. They've also taken over other departments like the Department of Revenue. They've taken over their IT. They've taken over the Department of Natural Resources. So obviously the Office of the Chief Information Officer's budget is going to grow substantially, but at the same time, those other departments' IT expenses are going to decrease. So that explains the all of the 17% increase from 2011 to 2013 in just those 2 points. You're right, it is very confusing when you're talking about the savings from the construction management, because the operations side, as Ron Robinson said, is in the analysis, but the construction savings side, which is the major piece of that, is not in that analysis. And I look forward to Ron's review of that, because I think it's going to show a substantial savings on the construction side. This doesn't address construction at all. And that's the main thing that the Department of Administrative Services does. The fact that it claims that we've saved more on, or spent more on outside services than we've saved in personnel costs is simply not true. And we go back to the outsourcing of janitorial, which saves $236,000 a year. That's a net figure, net of those salaries, and no one was laid off to do that. It was just holding open positions. We talked about the reorganization of construction management and the savings there. And then the assertion that we've been replacing lower paid employees with higher paid employees is simply not correct. When 43 employees took the early retirement incentive back in 2010, the majority of them were lower paid employees, because they thought it was a good deal to take that 5-year incentive and the health insurance to retire early. Those positions were not replaced. That's how we're down 71 positions since 2009. We're doing more with less. And so, unfortunately, just pulling numbers out of I-3 and saying, you've increased your budget by 17%, is just not accurate.
Thank you. That's
Senator McCoy.
Ron, if we could look at the issue review, page 2 of issue review under general fund, Department of Administrative Services.
Under the table 1, I see IT expenses, and I'm following across from 12 to 13, and in FY12 we're showing $16,410,000, and FY13 $17,000,000. $188,000, which is a net change of 4.2%. Centralized purchasing FY12 number $30,141,000 to $35 million.
I'm sorry, Senator, which table are you looking at?
I'm looking at table 2 under, or excuse me, table 1 under the general fund, page 2. And then I'm looking at the vehicle fund in FY12, 3.6 to 3.9.
Well, Senator, the comparison, the 17% figure,
yes,
isn't from 09 to 13, it's from 11 to 13. So you have to look at the FY11 column and compare it to the FY13 column. That's where you see the $9 million difference on vehicle appreciation. That's where you see a $5 million difference on IT.
Show me that. Show me the $9 million of vehicle.
FY11, vehicle depreciation, $14.633 million. FY13, vehicle depreciation, $23,602,146, $9 million.
And where is that?
It's under the line of vehicle dispatcher revolving fund, vehicle depreciation revolving fund, and motor pool revolving fund.
Okay.
And as I explained, that was because we made the decision, we have a tight budget. Instead of laying off people, we're not going to buy cars. You're going to use your cars longer. And then we got to the point where, you know, troopers needed new cars, agencies needed new cars, they had to start paying back into that vehicle depreciation fund. That's not DAS's money. We control it because we buy the cars, but it's for those agencies that paid in for that.
So between, your contention is between 2011 and 2013, that there was $9 million new additional dollars paid into the fund.
It's not my contention. This is LSA's number.
I understand that. I'm not. That was not a hostile question.
Okay. Senator.
Your contention is that $9 million reflected new dollars into the fund.
Absolutely.
Okay. And that reflected in more spending on behalf of the department.
Yes, because that fund is considered a DAS fund, but it's not our money. DHS's money. It's DOC's money. Yeah.
Well, none of it is your money.
Well, there's a little bit.
Very little. So the point is, we spent, you know, to Legislative Fiscal Bureau, we spent 17% more money of other people's money, which all came into DAS, and I get that. So what we're saying is, yes, state government over that four-year period grew at 7.2% in terms of spending, operating expenses. And under that same period, DAS grew at 17.6%. And your special cost for that is we started buying cars again. And so therefore,
to draw any conclusion about the operation of the department and the amount of vehicles that we purchase, you couldn't have more apples to oranges than that.
No, I understand that. But again, I'm just looking at this from a strictly, here's the barometer. This is how much we took in, this is how much we spent. We spent over that same period of time at 17%.
Fair enough, Senator, but if we move the vehicle fund to the Department of Management, would you say the Department of Management spent $9 million more?
Yes.
Okay. Well then, in that case, I think saying that our operations were increased by $17 million is just not accurate.
Well, again, this was a measure of spending and operations, and that's what's being measured. Separate issue reviews, separate analysis, systems improvements, all of those service factors. But again, to say that Legislative Fiscal Bureau somehow misrepresented the accuracy of the spending.
I'm not saying they misrepresented anything. I just said you can't draw the conclusion that our operations increased by $17 million by including $9 million of vehicles that were purchased for other departments. That's all I'm saying. I'm not arguing with these numbers. I'm just arguing with the conclusion.
Fair enough. I just think it's important to remember the purpose of the issue review was to measure spending and operations cost, and that's what they were trying to do.
Fair enough.
And those line items were in your budget because DAS, you know, in the system had responsibility for those purchases.
That's correct.
And therefore, you can certainly make that case. I just think that you know every other department could also make cases for why they delayed improvements or spending in their own departments during tough budget times, whether that be the deferred IT spending or they defer other spendings at the same time. So to suddenly say, well, you know, we only want to be measured on these areas. You know, you happen to be a mammoth department, maybe too big. And quite frankly, that's something we're going to have to give some consideration to is how we might restructure DAS so that it isn't so large that, you know, it can't be responsible to legislators and have oversight. And I think that one of the things we're going to have to look at is all the utility fees that are being collected by DAS and how those fees are coming about and how those fees are determined and how those increases are determined and how those funds are used and how they're commingled and how rebates are used by the Department of Administrative Services. So I think we've got
Senator, we'd welcome that review.
I think we've got a lot. I think we have a lot of legislative work to do next year. A lot of legislative.
We'll be happy to give you any information you need on all of those subjects.
Very good. Very good. I know you've always been more than willing to come before us and present your data. And I've got to say that at times I feel your data has been flawed. And I think that we need to spend some time and really spend some time to prove up everything that that is being presented as data now. Thank you.
Thank you. Londa, put this in just a little bit different perspective. On these vehicle purchases, who makes the decision as to how many vehicles to purchase? Is that a DAS decision?
No.
Who makes that decision?
The department directors. Okay. So Director Palmer at DHS says he needs 100 cars. He puts the order in. We get the vehicle depreciation money to pay for those cars, and then we get those cars out to DHS. That's how it works.
Thank you.
Director Lyons, one of the questions that our committee continues to grapple with is the utility fund, where the settlements were paid from. Could the Fiscal Bureau Legislative Services Agency give committee members a listing of all of the funds at DAS that are defined as utility? So we have a better idea of different fees being paid in from various state agencies and how those yes. are placed within the department.
Senator, I would direct you to our website. We just had customer counsel for the FY 16 and 17 rates, and we have a link right on the front page. It says service rates methodologies, and it shows every service line and what we charge. That'd be a very handy document. It's about 3 pages long. And we'd be happy to provide LSA with whatever they need.
Also working on updating analysis, not an analysis, but it's a table we did probably 2 years ago on fees. So the fees spent from, I think we, in that analysis, we went back to 2009. We're going to update that through 2014. And we're actually working on that right now.
And we'll be the first to admit, we're very unique in the fact that we get very little general fund appropriation. 95% of our money comes from other departments, and we want to be very transparent about where that money's coming from and where it's going to.
Yes, I think we all agree that we need more transparency on those funds. Are there further questions from the committee members? Senator Schneider.
Actually, I just want to thank Mr. Anderson for coming in, and I think it would be a more credible measurement of DAS's effectiveness to isolate spending to decisions over which it has direct control. So I think that the numbers law and provider are very helpful in that regard. Thanks.
Thank you, Senator.
Additional comments from the committee members? Thank you, Director Lyons, and
thank you
for coming before the committee. And we will break for lunch and reconvene at 12:30.